In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
Oh, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show. The champions of the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your locked out heroes.
Finding their way through the comic book world.
Finding their way through the comic book world. Chris, great to see you.
Great to see you too, Walt. You're looking good. I see you have a snappy haircut these days.
You know, I went to, we'll talk about it later, but just came back from Montreal. You know, I have to change my look so people don't recognize me now.
Yeah.
That's how bad Montreal was.
The Hangover Part 3, perhaps?
Yes, pretty well. Yeah. That's why I'm wearing the false sunglasses. And
you know,
is there such thing as false sunglasses?
Well, I guess. You know, if it didn't really, you know, protect the, from the sun.
Right.
So they'd be weird, they'd be glasses.
Yes, fair enough. With tint on them.
Tint.
Right.
Tintin.
Yes, tint. Yes, Chris, we're basically, this is show two of I think we got it wrong there last week, Chuck.
I think we did.
Yeah, it is year five.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it is year five.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not trying to, you know, say anything, but...
Don't then.
There's a little Hall of Fame plaque on CFMU's walls because of our little show, just saying.
Yeah, you're
just
right,
saying,
you're right.
You know,
we got the email a couple weeks ago saying, guys, you guys are on our Hall of Fame.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that,
I think because
there's finally 10 listeners.
No, there's more than 10.
Oh,
that's
just
CFMU staff, Chris.
Oh, right.
Yes. Listen, getthepointradio.com. Got an email from them yesterday.
Yeah.
Great station, site, whatever you call it. Is it a station or
a
site?
Both.
Is it one or
station
the other?
Site.
Right, station site.
Yeah.
They're happy to have us on board for another season, so we're looking forward to entertaining the Get the Point crowd.
The masses. Yeah. Yes.
All right. All so let's move on. What do we usually do after we banter like this?
We talk about New This Week.
Oh, right. We
new
do
this
talk
week.
About
and
New This week.
Week.
New This Week is brought to you by your local microbrewery.
Oh.
Just like local comic book shops.
Yeah.
You should support your local microbrewery.
That is an excellent idea.
Yes.
Excellent idea.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? I would actually support my local comic book, my local brewery more if they had beer named after comic book heroes.
Oh, see,
you know,
there you
like,
go.
I'd like to have 24 Captain Canucks, please.
Oh, nicely done.
You know, why not, right? You know.
24 for 24. Captain Canucks.
Captain Canucks. Right. I'll have a case of Nelvana.
Yeah. Oh, look at the head on that. That's nice. All right.
We're still talking about beer, right?
Beer. Okay. Of course.
All right. So listen, we're talking about New This Week here, and I got a little bit of a mishmash of things here.
Do you?
Yeah. You know what? Let's start with Marvel first. We're talking about the Mighty Thor. I haven't really talked about Thor a lot over the last year, but man, you know what? I read this issue. This issue is, it's by Alan Davis, Matt Fraction, and Carmine D. Giandomenico. And
known as Carm.
Among others, but man. A great looking book. It's called Everything Burns.
Everything
basically,
Burns.
Basically, once again, you know, you got Loki.
Marty told me yesterday after his trip to Montreal. He came back from Montreal. Walt, everything burns, man. What's going on?
You really got to stop going to those clubs, Marty. You really got to stop going to those clubs.
Okay, sorry. we lost track.
So, there. You know, it's a typical story, you know, but the thing I liked about this particular issue was, or this series, I should say, is it's the entire. Do you remember? Now, did you see the Thor movie?
Of course.
Okay, so.
My dad calls him Thor, by
Thor.
The way.
Yeah. So, you remember when Thor explained the whole the tree of the universe kind of thing?
Yes, I do.
Well, this is basically the entire tree of the universe is going to be burning down, and they've got they go to all the different realms in that particular burning tree or in that particular tree, and they've got it's like a Mephisto type character. It's like a fire demon type character, and he plans on burning everything down, and right. Loki's involved, and Alan Davis's art is awesome as usual. It just looks like a great book.
Excellent. Yeah. That is Thor, the Mighty Thor, number 20 from Marvel Comics, hitting your local comic book shop today.
Right. Okay. So now this is a little odd for me to choose this, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Well, I decided to choose a reprint.
Oh.
So Marvel published Thanos, The Final Threat, number 1. Now, this is actually reprinting comics, Avengers Annual, number 7, Marvel 2-in-1 Annual, number 2. And these are two Thanos stories where he goes up against the Avengers. Now, of course, on the heels of the Avengers movie, now, just recently we had the Thanos Quest reprint came out a month ago.
Yes.
And now we've got the Thanos, the Final Threat reprints. It looks like Marvel's really trying to kind of push the whole Thanos character and lineage and all that kind of stuff.
I wish this book came out last week because Jim Starlin was at the Montreal Comic Con.
Oh, right.
And,
yeah.
I could have,
had one signed.
Had one signed. Yeah.
Yeah. Jim Starlin, his name was in the credits of the Avengers movie as well. You know,
sure.
Like he's a very amazing writer and, it came up with half the characters, the cosmic characters that we know
of. A giant of the cosmic Marvel universe.
Absolutely.
It looks like, it looks to me from this vantage point, Marvel, Disney are moving that whole Avengers, skewing it to the Marvel.
The cosmic thing, yeah.
Right.
I think they're trying to get away, and, you know, why not? But I think they're trying to get away from the Earthbound type heroes, right? Because
sure.
It seems everybody's done it before.
Well, and also the Earthbound type heroes, pardon my French,
yes,
are owned by other studios.
Right.
Like
X-Men.
Spider-Man, yeah. Even Daredevil, that kind of stuff. So, well, Daredevil, not anymore, but so hold on. One shot, Thanos, The Final Threat from Marvel Comics at your local comic book shop today.
Awesome, awesome. All right. Next up, we've got – now, I thought this was pretty interesting. So now, this is DC Comics, New 52, of course, as usual, number 0. But this is Sword of Sorcery featuring Amethyst. Now, do you remember the old –
Yes, I do. Amethyst.
Amethyst, Princess of Gemworld.
It used to clog my 50-cent things.
I know. Yeah. So, but it looks like they're trying to resurrect the character again, and it looks – you know, I hate to say it, but you know what? It's got Aaron Lopresti's artwork. And now I will say that there's a girl named, I'm assuming it's a girl, Christy Marks is the writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I've never heard of her before. However, that doesn't mean that it's she's no good. So, but, you know, it actually looks like a good book. I mean, Aaron Lopresti is a great artist. He's done X-Men and he's done Spider-Man. He's done all kinds of different books out there. And his work is awesome for this particular book, and but it has a kind of a Lord of the Rings, Conan kind of a
Legends of Zelda,
kind of feel to it,
almost like a little bit of the Arwen from what was that Cross Gen series?
Sojourn.
Greg Land used
Sojourn.
To draw. Sojourn, yeah. You know what though? Here's the thing. Well, like Sword and Sorcery.
Yeah.
You know, like. I love Sword and Sorcery. Being a Conan fan,
yes.
I love Sword and Sorcery. But Sword and Sorcery doesn't seem to be the thing anymore.
It doesn't always translate well into comics. For whatever
reason. You almost need it like in a magazine where you see the entrails spilling out.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes it has to be a little more adult.
Yeah.
Where you need to see, maybe a little bit more cleavage and a little bit more blood and gore.
Exactly, kind of thing. Because the whole violence and sex and all that stuff is just, no rules and all that. That's what makes Sword and Sorcery. Lawlessness.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes,
and then,
You said that kind of like Conan there.
Thank you. My Crom. All right. So, where were we? Sword and Sorcery featuring Amethyst. number zero from your local comic book shop, hitting the stands today.
All right. Next up, we've got I just think this is really interesting. From IDW, now I probably should have talked about this before, but IDW, Star Trek number 13. Now, this is the, the classic sort of Star Trek, you know, Kirk and Spock and all that. And they continue making stories about these characters. Now, I should preface that. It's Kirk and Spock. However, it's the J.J. Abrams new Star Trek Kirk and Spock storyline. So they're creating new stories from the new actors. So all the characters are meant to look like the actors that were in the most recent Star Trek.
Right, I understand.
Right. So, but still going strong. All kinds of great, crazy storylines. And, you know, it's got that feel of an old Star Trek TV show with Kirk and Spock, where there's, like, you know, the love interests and, like, the seductions, and then there's the fight in the end kind of thing. It looks like a great book.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing with Kirk and Spock. The whole Star Trek thing is, it was great about Star Trek and Star Wars. And what I like about those type of properties is that, you know how some like this is my knock on the European comics.
Okay.
While I have a forum here.
Here's a forum. Yep.
Yeah. My knock on European comics is that, you know, Asterix and Obelix had their 30 albums.
Right.
You know, yep. Harrogate did his Tintin albums.
Yep, yep.
And they're like afraid to open up the floodgates and let new artists, new actors, new creators take on those characters and make new stories and stuff like that.
And,
you know, Star Trek, you know, we all thought initially, you know, Bill Shatner is Kirk. There'll never be another Kirk.
Yeah.
You know, there'll never be another Nimoy for Spock.
Yep.
You know, the old story is the best story. You know, Next Gen came out, and all the old timers like me saying, "Ah, that's crap." You know, that's
the old one, right?
And then Deep Space Nine, and then Deep whatever Nine, and then, you know, Johnny Deep Nine, and it doesn't matter what. But the thing though is
David Deep Nine.
Yo, my man, Dave Deep. Listen. My point is this, is it's the premise.
Right.
And North American fans
are
very savvy fans.
Yep.
And they want to consume this stuff. And they just want good storytelling. Skew it a little bit. Modernize it a little bit.
Yep.
Update it a little bit. I'll take it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
There's no purists, you know.
No.
And that's good. I was a purist and I've been converted.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. So if you
If
you remember, I mean, you know, so and we've talked about this before, how in as far as Star Wars is concerned, I know this is Star Trek, but as far as Star Wars is concerned, for like a good decade or more, the only thing you could get that was Star Wars related was the comic books, right? Because Dark Horse took a chance and they started publishing Star Wars comics, and it really helped to rejuvenate the franchise.
Take a chance on me.
Yes.
Listen, Star Trek number 13 from IDW.
Yes.
Hitting your local comic book shop stands today.
All right. Now, and last in our little...
let me guess, Art Balthazar.
No.
Oh.
You know what? I wonder if Art even listens to me constantly
praising
his stuff. Yes.
He should. Well, he should send you a check every week, too.
So anyways, this is both my this is my kids' pick of the week. And this is Charles M. Schulz's Peanuts, number two. Number two of four, and I just love this book because you know what? It's got exactly what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Now we have all these different characters and writers creating Peanuts, so Charlie Brown and all that kind of stuff, for those of you who don't know who Peanuts are, creating stories of Charles Schulz's characters, but they're from other people. And I think it's great. I just love the idea that the heritage and the lineage of...
That's what it's all about.
Lives on, right?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Peanuts from Kaboom, number two of four. Hitting your local comic book shop today.
All right. Well, you know what? We actually had an email request in, and they said, you know, this, I know this is hard to believe, but they actually wanted all Krantz Spider-Man music today.
Oh, did you get my email?
I got... Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. So here we go. Here's the leader.
Thank you.
Oh, you know what? Just when it was getting good,
Chris,
we had to turn it off.
I'm telling you, I'm speechless. Chris, you know what? Beethoven, Mozart, they got nothing on my boys at Krantz.
Absolutely.
No, this is stellar, stellar stuff. Okay, burn me a CD of that.
You know what?
If you're allowed.
Okay, so did you hear the part of the music that kind of sounded like the Sanford and Sung song?
No, I did.
You know, it's got that weird.
I just heard heaven. You know, that's what I heard.
All right, fair enough. Right. Let's keep going. Here.
Let's keep the show going. Let's see. What do we have now?
Right,
well, we have the comic culture mailbag.
Mailbag, yes.
Which this week is brought to you by the NHL Players Association. Please be on our side during negotiations.
Right.
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 Because it's a big public contest. Is it a pissing contest?
Okay. Well, here's
not.
You know, I don't want to get too involved because this isn't.
We're talking about the hockey negotiation. This isn't NHL culture.
This is the lockout issue
of the comic culture.
But what I want to know is, you know, so if players, sorry, some kids are heroes. That's true. They are. If you know, players, they're expected to be taking a 17% salary. Cut. Yes, yeah. That's crazy. 17%
from like 8 million to 7.
Well, yeah, but maybe you've budgeted.
I budgeted eight million dollar house.
What
the heck, man!
Right?
I have to go from Louis XIII down to Remy,
Louis XI.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm talking cognac, by the way. This is the cognac hour. On CFMU McMaster Radio.
Now that would be a great show.
That's next. CFMU, if you're listening, we have another idea to pitch.
The cognac hour.
The cognac hour. Followed by the scotch hour.
Scotch report.
Scotch report. All right, anyway.
Okay.
Where were we?
A mailbag. Mailbag.
Oh, right. Okay, I got one. Chris, I'm a gamer. Can you recommend any recent comic-based video games or any that are coming out soon?
Right. And
this is from Abby.
Abby.
In Abbotsford.
Abby in Abbotsford.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, Abby, you know what? Some great comic book game video games that have recently come out. You know, although it didn't do that great in the ratings, The Amazing Spider-Man ratings? Yeah, believe it or not, there is.
Okay.
Well, like say for example, like IGN is a comic book or sorry, a video game site that rates video games. IGN rated The Amazing Spider-Man video game, I think, a 6. It didn't get that high of a rating, but you know, one of the reasons why it didn't get, I think it maybe even been a seven. It didn't get that high of a rating. Sometimes they don't get high ratings because of the return playability aspect of it. So once you've beaten the game, people like to go back and replay the game. Sometimes the replayability of the game isn't all that great because you're kind of expecting the same thing over and over again. So it means, like, let's say you finish the game.
Yeah, and then
so
you replay
if you want to go back and play it again.
Is it the same thing?
Sometimes it's the same thing, right?
Oh, then that's no good?
Well, no, you're just expecting the same thing over and over again. Whereas
right.
some games have little downloadable things where you can change the game a little bit, or makes the game harder, or things
oh,
like that.
Okay.
So more difficult, you know.
Right.
But you know what? I got
never
say,
had that on Pong.
No, they really didn't. I gotta say, as far as newer video games that have already come out, the DC Superheroes Batman Lego game is phenomenal. It's the first Lego game to actually have voices. Now, all the other Lego games always had they wouldn't actually say anything. They'd like, it'd be kind of like Charlie Brown's teacher, right?
Right.
And it would look like they're saying something, and then you could read it underneath. Well, now they actually have all the voices. You know, they've got like Kevin Conroy doing the voice of Batman, and all the big names
right,
that are actually
right,
doing
right.
doing the proper voices. And it's a fun game. You know, you get to see Bane and the Joker and Harley Quinn and all these kind of regular type heroes, and then Superman comes around and he's in it, and Wonder Woman's in it. You know, so
she is.
Yeah, as Lego characters, it's just a fun little game, and
I'm wondering if our buddy Greg Hyland did any of the graphic art for that.
You know, he may have.
Because he's so good at computers, that kid.
And he does all the Lego stuff, right?
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
He does the Lego stuff. He's terrible at computers, Chris. That was a joke.
Oh.
But that's okay. Yeah, I'm wondering if he's involved in any way.
Greg, put
in the comments field if you're involved in this.
He
please.
Went to the, I think there's a Lego convention he went to, and he was swarmed with, he was doing art all weekend long.
Yeah.
You know, so,
people were asking for Lego, like they wanted, I talked to him about it, and he said one of the fads this year was they wanted a Lego totem pole.
Really?
Yeah. They wanted like Legos on totem poles. I don't know what that means.
Oh, that's interesting. What he said. Interesting. Right. Interesting. Maybe for the Native American.
Probably. I don't know what it is. Maybe Canadian or
yeah,
something
yeah.
like. All right. Well, listen, that's what Craig told me. I quickly talked to him about it. So this is a good game that's coming up. Is it already out?
It's already out. Yeah, it's
already
out.
Already out.
All right. I highly recommend that one. I got an email as well.
Okay, Abby, I hope that answers your question.
Oh, sorry.
Enjoy your video games.
Yep. Philip from Monroeville.
Philip
from Monroeville.
Right.
Well, that's where the big comic convention is every year in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah,
Monroeville.
Yeah.
So Philip from Monroeville says, Walt, if I could choose one comic to invest in this year that would give me my highest return on profitability, what would it be?
Okay. You know what, Philip? I get this email all the time, and my basic answer to that is, hey, you know, if I knew that, I'd do it myself, pal. I wouldn't share it with you.
That's not very nice.
No,
you
it's not.
Help the guy out a bit, will you?
All right.
Okay,
let me pull back.
Okay.
Let me pull out. Okay, hold on.
Beep, 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 beep. Back it up there, buddy.
You know what? I'm high on...
life?
Well, among other things. I'm high on Daredevil number one right now.
Really?
Daredevil number one, the old Marvel 1964,
yeah.
April 1964, which, by the way, is a great month and a great year to be born.
Interesting.
April 1964.
When's your birthday?
April 1964.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So what happened, the reason I'm high on this one is Daredevil got poo-pooed with the last movie.
Yes.
Daredevil, you and I discussed Daredevil last week or the week before, maybe a year ago. I'm not sure when. I know we discussed it.
Yes.
On how Daredevil has been written well by 1,700 different writers.
And this is the thing. I would argue that as far as great stories in comic books go, mm-hmm. Daredevil probably has one of the highest number of great stories.
Yes.
You know, like as far as solid stories that people will say, oh, did you read this? Did you read that? You know, like
the problem with the Daredevil is he's too close to Batman.
Right.
Here's the thing I'm going to ask you. Here's a piercing thing.
All right.
Is would the Daredevil be more popular if they gave him his sight back as a hero? He still had heightened senses.
Yeah.
And the reason I ask this, don't take this the wrong way, please. Don't no hate mail, no nothing, but just the world is the world. Who watches the Paralympics? Nobody. Who watches the Olympics? Everybody. The fact that Daredevil has a handicapped... The fact that Daredevil has a handicap, does it hurt the title Daredevil? That's all I'm saying.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? I think so.
I understand where you're coming from
right.
here. I don't think it does. I think that's part of the charm of the Daredevil comic.
Right,
because here's a guy that has had one of his senses taken away from him. And, you know, it's...
You've had more than one of your senses taken away from you, pal. Look,
boy. So you're saying that it would actually do better?
I don't know.
If he became Batman, it would just be another Batman.
I'm just saying what limits Daredevil, I think, is maybe they associate him with the Batman type stories or something like
right.
that.
Right. But if you gave him his sight back, that would make him Batman.
No, only if you put cowl on him.
Okay, so
right.
you give him bigger ears.
Bigger ears. No, but you're right. I digress. Yeah. I digress. My point is Daredevil is a great character.
Yes.
Blind or not blind.
Right.
Right now he's blind.
Right.
He's a great character, and he's been poo-pooed the last decade since that movie. 2003.
Yes.
Right? As a collectible. I'm talking about as a collectible because a young Mitch, what's his name?
Philip.
Philip, sorry. Young Philip asked the question. So the key here is that Marvel/Disney has won the rights to Daredevil.
Rights.
And back.
Rights.
Now, when you win the rights and by the time you can roll out new initiatives, there's a year and a half, 2 year lag, or maybe a year minimum, right?
Right.
So that kind of was a sleeper announcement. There's going to be some speculators moving in on that book, I think, right now.
But I
think if you have confidence in the way Marvel and Disney roll out their heroes take care of their heroes, I think that 2, 3, 4 years from now, Daredevil is going to be much more popular than he is now.
That's a good point.
And I think Daredevil number one will be a hotter collectible than it is now.
Okay. So.
So there.
All right. Great answer, by the way. Great answer, by the way.
Great answer. Great answer. Number.
Survey said.
Richard Dawson there.
Now, here's a follow-up question on my own. Variant covers. What's your thought on variant covers? Are they worth collecting?
I've been proved wrong by the market on this, but I hate them.
Right.
It's the content of the book that's important.
So hold on. I should probably just clarify for our listening audience who don't know what a variant cover is. Every week when comic books come out, they have the regular type cover. So you get 50 copies of Spider-Man that has Spider-Man and Mary Jane on it by a particular artist. Well, every once in a while, there might be an incentive cover.
Where, a variant.
What's called a variant.
Yeah.
So if a particular store orders 50 copies or 20 copies of one particular comic, they'll get one issue where it's a different cover.
Yeah, and where Mary Jane may be in a negligee on that
something.
Cover.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Spider-Man is buying coffee or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
So then that one becomes a little bit more expensive.
Sure.
Because you have to order 50 of them to get that one.
Yeah,
cover.
It's rarer.
Right.
More rare.
So are they worth investing in?
I'm going to say no. But again, I've been proven wrong. And I'll give the fans or the whoever's listening, the investors, the old-timers.
Yep.
I've been proven wrong every year by that stupid Star Wars 35-cent variant.
Right.
I hate this book. Okay.
Right.
This is a book that is the same book as the Star Wars
That's
30
not really
cent
a,
cover.
Okay.
It is, but hold on, it's in a way it's the same
yeah,
thing. In a way
but,
it's the same thing. In a way it's a book that's ratioed 1-100 to the other books. The only thing different is something on the cover. Okay, let me get to my point.
The only thing different
is something on like onto the cover. Now, if it was back then, if they had thought of 1-100 variants, it would be the same thing.
Right.
The point is people are collecting it because it's rarer than the other one.
Okay.
And it gets stupid prices.
But isn't that like a misprint? Because weren't like a whole bunch of them made?
No. What it was is all those variant price things were test markets for higher prices.
Okay.
That they would test in.
Well, it's not really a variant cover.
It's a price variant, though. I mean, it's
yeah,
just,
but.
Listen, I understand it's not a variant cover, but I'm putting it in the same bucket as
okay,
a variant
okay,
cover.
Okay, fair enough.
Completists who are shrinking every year want the variant cover, but there's less and less completists. I think if a comic introduces a brand new character, and the character goes on to revelence or whatever you call it, importance. This comic is sought after because the very first Deadpool appeared in it, right? And Deadpool is a major character today, and people want
New Mutants.
Yeah, New Mutants 98, let's say.
Okay.
You know, that's an important book because a new character
has
appeared in it.
Right.
I don't think a book with a cover with it's just something different.
Right.
But the book is the same.
Right.
I personally don't think that should add a lot of value.
Right.
But there is definite scarcity.
Right.
And it's all about demand and supply.
Right.
So I'm obviously wrong in that case, but I disagree with them.
Okay, fair enough. I think you raise a very valid point. I think that if I was to talk a little bit on my own opinion on variants, I would say that variants are a great thing for completists. But as you say, there are a lot fewer completists out there than there used to be because it's not possible to buy everything like you used to be able to buy.
Well,
like
especially with all the flipping variants you're doing right now.
Right. So,
All right.
Great. Well, I hope that answers your question, Philip, from Monroeville. Great question. All right. Well, you know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude before we get into the industry news. And this is going to be the Throne Room.
Thank you.
brilliance, Chris. You know, the brilliant part about that song is it conveys the mood that I often have in the throne room.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, just
slow and methodical.
Slow, pensive. Yeah. I'm worried.
Tight.
Tight. And tight. Yeah.
I mean,
and then, I'm sure there's a crescendo. It builds to a climax. I'm sure in that song, if we waited for it. And then everything is fine. Everything comes out correctly in the end. Yeah. So great stuff.
Great stuff, of course.
Okay, where are we now?
We're on to industry news. And industry news is, of course, brought to you by the wonderful sellers of Doctor Who product. Because somewhere out there, somebody cares.
Yes, somebody cares. And there are – hey, don't be dissing Doctor Who.
I'm just saying. You know what? I recently saw the first full season, got about halfway into the second season, and I think I'm done. I say.
I think you have to be British.
Maybe you do.
No, you don't have to be British, but you have to kind of you have to like Doctor Who, I guess.
Exactly.
Has to touch some nerves.
And there are a lot of people out there who love Doctor Who.
Love Doctor Who.
It's a really different kind of show. It's very campy and weird and
much like the British. Alrighty then. Touche.
There you go, Danny Champ. That was for you.
That one was for you, Danny.
All right.
Hope things are well in London.
Okay, so what's going on here? Well, what do we got going for?
Okay, let's talk about a few things, Chris. Let's talk about, hey, zombies.
Zombies.
We all were worried that zombies were going away.
You know, I thought, you know what, for a little while there, I thought zombies would be going away and it would be like the end of the fad.
Yeah, people have forgotten about zombies.
Yeah.
Well,
now with Walking Dead
nothing
gone.
Could be further from the truth.
Clearly. Yes,
because
now
what happened?
Resident Evil Retribution topped another week of box office. Box office isn't doing that great these days.
Yeah.
You know, but it still was the highest earner with an estimated $21 million.
This is a zombie flick.
It is a zombie flick.
Making $21 million.
Yeah, well, but $21 million is not that great of an opening.
I think it's great for a zombie flick.
This is a high budget zombie. Well,
you get a bunch of extras walking around like idiots. I mean, like zombies. I wonder if John Muir. Speaking of zombies, I was going to say speaking of idiots, John. But listen. Speaking of zombies, I wonder if our friend John Muir
you never know. Maybe.
Because our friend John Muir, who has been on the show,
yep.
is the world's leading zombie.
Well, yeah. He's done a lot of zombie movies.
Yeah, he's been a zombie in a lot of zombie movies. Right.
That's right. You know what's also interesting, though, is the re-release of Finding Nemo debuted with an estimated $17.5 million. So, do you remember that?
You read that, right? A re-release of
a cartoon? Of a cartoon did $17.5 million.
Came in second place?
Yeah.
With all these new releases.
All these new movies, brand new stuff. The thing is, it's three. It's Finding Nemo in 3D.
Right.
So, you know, you get to hear Ellen DeGeneres' voice in 3D. It's even more annoying.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I remember that. You know what? I took my kids to that movie, what was it, like years ago?
25 years ago.
Yeah. And we all enjoyed it. But it's just amazing.
Actually,
it's staggering to think that a re-release would come in second place during the week.
But you know what? This is a bad time of year to have movies come out because students are going back to school. They're just getting involved in school again. People are coming off the summer. You know, like, it's just a bad time for movies, right? You know, I don't think you'd ever want to debut a movie around this time.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just saying that, I don't know. I'm speechless that a remake of. But then again, what? Finding Nemo made $800 billion.
Right? Yeah, but don't you remember? I mean,
I don't remember.
Every generation, Disney re-releases all these movies back in the theaters again. It happened for years. I remember when I was a kid, you know, Robin Hood and 101 Dalmatians came out and Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I didn't know that those were initially released. Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Bedknobs.
And Broomsticks.
And Broomsticks.
You've seen that movie. I know
no,
you
I haven't.
Have. Yeah,
I have,
sure you
I
have.
I haven't. I've not seen that movie.
Angela Lansbury at her finest, before she became an old crony.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that
I'm
movie.
I'm just saying, she was hot back then. At one point, she was hot.
Yeah.
And she turned the knob.
The knob.
And she made my life magical.
Look
with
out.
With Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Look out.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the best title for a movie, I'm just saying.
It sure is. Because the knob, you had to turn the knob on the bedpost.
Oh, the bed knob.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Bedknobs. Right. And Broomsticks.
Wow. Chris, it's funny that you were talking about like that. I mean, that's a terrible title for a movie. You know?
Well, clearly it's memorable.
It is memorable.
Or rememberable, as I was about to say.
Rememberable. And I have I have a list here of some really bad titled movies that were canceled specifically because of the title that they gave the movie.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
They basically sent them back to the drawing board for new titles.
Right. Okay.
So
fair enough.
I'm going to go through some of them.
Okay. Yeah.
And hit you. There is a movie. There was a Spider-Man movie. The original one was called Sticky Situations.
Oh, yeah. That's
right?
Just, you know.
And it was a story of Spidey finding himself in like predicaments.
Yeah. Well, right? You know, that's what happens, right?
It can be misunderstood,
yeah,
right?
I
and
know,
then that's what
I
people
know.
Feared, right?
Yeah,
and
it's true.
You know what? With the Dark Knight popularity and stuff, Marvel tried to do a Giant Man Rises.
Well, Giant Man he was a great comic book character.
But they were afraid that the title would
Dark Knight Rises,
yeah,
Giant Man would
attract
Rises.
People like yourself, but maybe to the premiere.
I'd go see it.
Right, heyo. Right, there was one DC tried one. They were doing one called Going Down.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
It was Power Girl. She starred in an airplane disaster movie.
Oh, and yeah. She probably saves the airplane.
Yeah, I'm sure she does, right? With some sort of buoyancy devices.
Well,
or
something like that. She's very affluent in that regard.
Yeah. There was, this was great. It's a Canadian feature. It was called Rim Job.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it was the crime caper that finds Captain Canuck getting to the bottom of insider trading for Research in Motion.
Oh,
right.
Research in Motion.
Rim.
Right.
See, these are movies that could have happened.
That would be a great movie.
Yeah.
Insider
Rim
Training,
Job.
I think
there might have been one.
Rim Job.
Rim Job before.
The movie.
Yeah. In Deep, Chris.
Oh.
Yeah, Marvel tried that one, but they started to change the subject. It was about Iron Fist.
Oh.
And how he infiltrates the mob.
Well, yeah. Iron Fist. Danny Rand is a great character.
Yeah,
you team him up with Power Man, and it's awesome, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But it is. See, that's the problem with movies, right? It's about the title.
Yeah,
it's
the
like
title.
Marvel did, Disney did again. They tried one with they tried to produce like solicit it as Hard to Swallow.
Okay,
and it starred Miss Marvel.
Okay.
And it's about a woman having difficulty swallowing her pride.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Well, because you know what, Ms. Marvel was a very proud character, right? Like she always felt like she was second guessing herself, and you know, second tier to all the other characters.
Second tier. Yeah. And my favorite was Commando.
Oh,
it's where
isn't that Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah. Commando. They had one. They had a premise where. Like Clark Kent forgot his costume.
Oh, right? Wow.
That went nowhere.
Yeah,
but
it does happen.
Anyway, so it's funny that you mentioned the...
Did you ever forget to, you know, put your undergarments
on? Chris, what
do
we got next coming up? do we have any more industry news?
Oh, we got lots of industry
let's
news.
Move on.
Lots of industry news.
Hey, let's talk about Archie.
Archie. That's the wrong Archie. That's All in the Family Archie.
All right, Archie. Yeah. Archie Bunker.
That was a great show, though. And Norman Lear produced that.
Yes,
anyways,
he did.
Yeah, yeah, anyways.
And the sperm of the moment, too, apparently.
Hey-o.
All
right, so Archie Comics has hired Adam Tracy. Adam Tracy. That is a great name for, like, you know, as a detective.
It's a great double name.
Yeah. Really,
is it a guy
yes.
or a girl? Tracy Adam.
She was an adult industry,
she was?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
No, okay.
Well, that's what my friends tell me anyways.
Adam Tracy
as director of publicity and marketing, replacing Alex Segura, who recently left Archie to return to DC.
Wow.
So he used to – so this guy named Tracy used to actually – was the he was one of the editors for Toy Fair magazine. Remember that magazine that people used to care about back in the day before the internet became popular?
Yeah.
Well, anyways so here's a guy that recently used to work there, and now we got Adam Tracy. He's come back to work for.
So to what? What's he doing?
Well, apparently he's going to do marketing and publicity for Archie Comics.
So this is what I want to talk to you about in this thing. So the comic book heroes.
Yeah.
Need publicists?
Well, maybe they should. Well, first of all, I don't know if I'd say Archie was a hero, by the
way. Well, comic book characters. I'm
okay,
sorry. What the heck?
I'm just saying.
So you need a publicist? Like, this guy is going to go out and be a publicity and marketing.
Well, why not? Maybe, you know what? Clearly, as far as comic books have come, maybe they need their own publicists. Maybe they need their own marketers. Maybe they need their own agents. Maybe Wolverine needs an agent.
Like an agent?
Like an agent. Yeah, like, you know, like a...
Like a guy representing...
Absolutely.
Wolverine.
That's right. So, you know what? So, as of right now, we've got the NHL lockout.
This is the lockout issue of Comic Book Daily, by the way.
That's right. So, you know what? Maybe, you know, what if comic book characters went on strike? That's what I want to know.
No. What if there? Yeah, you're right. Like a collective bargaining agreement.
What if there's a collective bargaining agreement? And what if there, instead of the NHLPA, maybe there was like the, comic book characters association. So the
comic book character PA
or Comic Association of Characters of America, Kaka.
Kaka.
Yeah.
Yes.
You
yes.
Know.
Kaka. So hold on. We're gonna try to. Get a grip on
it. I'm just saying.
Hold on. I'm going to try to get a hold of it, Chris. Get a grip on it.
Don't squeeze too hard.
Right. So you're saying that if we had agents. See, what if, like, say the Avengers?
Okay.
See, this is the problem with a hockey team or a basketball team. You get Dick Slap over there. I'm sorry, I just said that wrong. You get a guy over there. Sorry, I think I made a boo-boo. You get a guy over there making 18 times the amount of money that you make.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And like, what if – so let's say Wolverine's making 10 times the amount of money I am. And Wolverine's getting pummeled by those villains.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, yeah, you know what? I'll let him take a couple of more shots because he's making so much more money than I am.
Absolutely. Why
right?
not?
It divides the team.
It absolutely does.
You know, it can be a point of contention.
Absolutely. And there's nothing – but you know what? So maybe,
you know what I'm saying?
Maybe I hear what you're saying. Maybe they should go
Do
on
you?
Strike. Maybe they should go on strike.
Yeah.
Maybe
but if they went on strike, see, they'd be unemployed.
Right.
And what does a superhero do?
Regular jobs.
What kind of – okay, regular jobs.
You know what? Wolverine could hold people's marshmallows when they're camping.
Very good. You
right?
know, Thor can go into carpentry.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
I'm sure Iron Man, I'm sure he's got at least a skill or two.
Welding, exactly.
You know, and then, but then.
You know, how about this one? I got one, Chris. Stan Lee signs. Get it? Stan Lee signs?
Right.
I'm Stan Lee. I'll sign anything.
He really did. You know, and when I saw him in Pittsburgh last year, he pretty much signed anything. Yeah. Except for copies of his autobiography, which apparently wasn't so autobiographical.
No. I mean,
Conan
piano tuning.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
By Crom, this sucks.
By Crom, this is out of tune.
I will fix
it.
So does that mean that there would be scabs?
And crush your enemies.
There'd be scabs who would have to be like crossing the picket line to go and be those characters.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you'd get some guy.
There'd be like a civil war going on, Chris.
Right.
The scabs and the union boys.
Maybe characters should go on strike.
Yeah, you think you're right. Just to prove a point.
Why not?
Just to prove a point that you need us. Like,
yes.
And hopefully the crime rate goes up.
All right. Well, anyways.
All right.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Interesting theory.
Yeah. Hey, Captain Canuck can have totem pole sales.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's right.
Anyway, let's go. Let's
Titan.
Hey, Black Widow dating service. Only use it once.
I like it.
All right.
Titan merchandise. Have you ever heard of Titan merchandise?
Titan.
Well, Titans. Okay, so,
Titans.
So, no. So Titan was the sister company of Titan Books. So Titan.
Okay. I remember Titan Books. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Titan merchandise has acquired a license to produce merchandise based on Captain Action. Now, do you remember Captain Action? Captain Action was this character that came out in the 70s or 60s.
60s. Late 60s.
Right. So.
Chris? I got a storybook.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to tell the audience what it is. Do they know?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So Captain Action was this character. It was this blank sort of doll, and you would buy different clothing, so to become whatever it is you wanted it to be. So you could buy like a James Bond outfit. You could buy Steve Austin outfit or whatever it happened to be.
Yeah.
Something that would fit for that particular character, and it would become whatever character you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Captain Action was in the late 60s, DC came out with the Captain Action comic book.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I think there's a Blackhawk one.
Yeah, no, Captain Action.
Captain
Action by himself. And I remember buying a collection, maybe 10 years ago. And the guy had four Captain Action number ones.
Okay.
And I swear I sold the last one maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, they are terrible.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that crap.
That's like the Metamorpho of Captain Action.
And so when I read Titan, who's a big concern, picking up or licensing Captain Action merchandise.
Yeah, what's the point?
What's the point?
I agree.
Can you breathe life into dead characters.
Quite often, I will disagree with you vehemently. As much as I possibly can with you on the show. But man, I completely agree with you. Captain Action is like a dead merchandise, and no one gives 2 cents about Captain Action. No one cares, right?
Nobody cares.
Like, no one cares. So what's the point?
They would do better to make something up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, make something up, and because Captain Action, you know who's going to buy that? No one.
No one.
That's right.
Yeah. They could just put an accent on one of the letters and just call them Captain Action.
Action. Oh, that may be good.
Right, which wouldn't be a copyright thing.
But apparently now you can buy distressed logo T-shirts, coffee mugs, and even an ID holder. Who the bleep cares about an ID holder that says Captain Action
on it? Yeah. You know, that will get you nothing but beat up.
Absolutely. I'd like 2 martinis, please. And here's my Captain Action ID card.
Can I see your ID?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Here you are. Right. Sounds terrible. Anyways, here we go. A little bit more of the old Krantz music coming up. This one's called Atlantis History.
Drum roll, please.
There's that crescendo you were looking for earlier.
Yes, the climax.
Did you finally get that crescendo out?
That was nice.
Oh, okay, good.
Did the trick for me. Thanks,
good,
Chris.
Good, no problem.
I really, really needed that.
I know. I'm here for you, pal.
All right, Chris. Let's move on with industry news and
hey,
what are we
going to
talk about?
Well, you know what? So you guys went to the Montreal Comic Con in this past weekend.
Let's talk about
that. And we really should talk about that. So now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I have been known to be wrong in the past.
I always do.
And I appreciate that. Jean-Luc Picard, also known as Patrick Stewart, Captain Kirk, also known as Mr. William Shatner, were they not both at the Montreal Comic Con?
Oui.
Oui, oui.
Tu es correct, monsieur.
Oh, boy. Okay. So enough with the French already.
Okay.
Tell me about the show. What was it like? First of all, what was the gate like? Were there lots of dealers? Tell me a little bit about it.
Yo, you know what? There were dealers outside, Chris, but I stayed away from those guys.
Good for
you.
I don't
need that.
You know what? You know what? Just say no to crack.
Right. It was good. It was good. I liked it. The show was great. Promoter Oscar Yaz did a great job, as always. I know Stan Lee canceled out a little bit late in the game, but
Stan Lee was supposed to be at this one?
Yeah.
Oh, again.
Last year they solicited him as coming, but listen, Bill Shatner and Pat Stewart, they picked up the slack.
Nice.
Right?
They
did a great job. Tons of fans. Listen,
yeah.
Listen, I think I heard one complaint about
Stan Lee
not being there.
Okay, right? So hold on. So dealers, were there a lot of comic book dealers there? I know it's comic convention, but sometimes you go
like
to these things.
Like all Comic Cons, Chris, the old vintage comic dealers are a smaller and smaller portion
right.
of it, which is a great thing. This is Montreal's a great town. It's a big town. Lot of pop culture fans.
Okay.
And so there were a lot of people and set up selling, say, stuff like T-shirts.
Right.
A lot of artists were there.
Does anybody sell like trading cards anymore? Is that even a thing?
Yeah, one or two guys there. Yeah, a lot of guys selling toys. A lot of people representing their shops, like local shops.
Right,
so they have
a
mishmash of what their shop would have. They're representing, you know what I mean?
That's all right.
And
wrong with that.
There were some manga type, you know, like Japanese skewed type booths as well. It was just a good show. If you were a pop culture enthusiast, odds are there was something in that room that interests you.
Nice. Right? Now, I didn't go. I didn't get a chance to go. I was working, unfortunately, on the weekend. Now, was it expensive to get in for? Obviously, you didn't pay yourself because you're a dealer. But do you know? Was it like you know, $80 or was it like $10?
You know what? Honestly, I don't know. I don't know the price. I forgot. I should know, but I don't know the price. Obviously, with the gate though that came in, I'm assuming that it was. With the price of entertainment today, though, think about it. Even if it was, I don't know, I'm sure it wasn't, but even if it was $30 to get in for the day.
No, it wouldn't have been that
But let's say, I mean, even, Christ, Chris, that's like 8 hours of entertainment.
Yeah,
that's $30.
Yeah, it's true.
You're paying, for a family of two, you're paying $30 to go to the movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, more than that.
Yeah. So, it's just for a couple hours. And you got to, you didn't have to go and get something signed, but you know, from a distance you can see, you know, guys like Kevin Sorbo and guys like Patrick Stewart.
Right.
And,
so Kevin Sorbo, he's the guy that played Hercules, right?
Yeah. And what was that other sci-fi movie that he did?
He was in one of the Star Trek, wasn't he?
I'm not sure.
I think he was in Star Trek.
I'm not sure.
He was in one of those things. Yeah.
Anyway, so it was a good show for that. We'll get to it a little bit later to end the show, but we had the Schuster Awards
awarded I love the fact that the Schuster Awards travels around the country trying to really encompass the fact that it's all Canadian.
All Canadian, right. And you know what? Kudos to the guys at the Schusters because, you know, the Eisners is awarded every year at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, yeah.
Right, and the Schusters last year was in Calgary. This year's in Montreal. Next year, I believe, is in Toronto.
Nice.
And, you know, they're moving it around, and they're trying to be inclusive.
Yes, that's good.
It was nice. We went after the Saturday sales floor. We went to the Schusters after party.
Oh, right.
With Kevin Boyd and Rob Haynes, the Schuster boys.
Yep.
And, you know, we were just talking Schusters, talking comics, having a few pints. And it was really a good evening.
Okay. So, sorry. I don't care about the afterwards. I want to know about the Schusters.
Oh.
What I want to know about is, what was cosplay like? Because you know what? That's where you get to see all the, you know, good-looking girls in dressed up as Ms. Marvel and Invisible Girl and all that kind of stuff. Was cosplay a thing there, or did anybody even show up?
Right, Chris. I think the Montrealers, their joie de vivre.
Yes.
It really came out.
Yeah.
And because their cosplaying was huge.
Nice.
Yeah. I can honestly say that I saw the best cosplayer I've ever seen.
See, this is what I want to know.
At the Montreal Comic Con.
I don't care about you guys talking with all your buddies after the Schuster Awards. I want to know.
Well, we had a good time.
Well, tell me about the girls dressed up as Power Girl.
But it wasn't a girl. Unfortunately for me, the best cosplayer was a guy.
Oh, boy.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
You know what? If you're okay with that, I'm okay with that.
So cosplay was huge. Cosplay was huge.
Okay, so
everybody dressed up. Not everybody, obviously, but a large portion of cosplayers than, let's say, at the Toronto Con. I'm just gonna guesstimate. My favorite cosplayer was a guy. He was flipping. He had a time machine.
Oh.
He was Leonard Nimoy. He was Spock.
Oh, get out! Really?
This guy walking around. He was Spock.
Yeah,
I swear he was Spock.
Nice.
And he had the most pictures taken of any car. He couldn't get
more Spockish.
Yeah, but he couldn't get 5 feet without being mauled, right? And then just as poor guy, probably had to go to the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
Just as he thought, you know, the 78 pictures were taken, he's done.
Yeah.
He moves turns around and moves 8 feet, and another throng attacks him and says, "Can I get your picture? Can I get your picture?"
How many times did you ask him to take a picture?
You know what? Only once. And what we did as a booth, we had a lot of fun. What we did at the booth, and I think you'll be able to see this. I'm not sure whether we're going to put it on comicbookdaily.com or bigbcomics.com.
Okay.
So have a look at both. But
put it on both.
Okay, I will. What we did is we asked a bunch of cosplayers to come around to our bins,
okay,
and look through the bins of their title. So we got a picture of Spidey looking through the Spider-Man bin.
Oh, that's fun.
We got a picture of Cap looking through the Captain America
right,
bin.
Right, right,
we got
right.
a picture of Spock looking through the Spock bin. My coup de grace.
There's a Spock bin?
Star Trek.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My coup de grace. My coup de grace. My coup de grace. I was looking for another French term, but I had knew
boy.
None.
Yes. Again.
My piece de resistance.
Right.
That's the one I was looking for. Was I got the Dalek.
Oh.
To look through the Doctor
Who.
The
quarter bins.
Oh, that hurts, Chris. That hurts, you know. No, that was French. I mean, I say that hurts.
Hey, well, no, that was French because that was, you know, you were just, you were doing.
I was channeling Clouseau.
I thought you were channeling Jerry Lewis. Because he's big in France, right?
Right, yes.
So. All right.
I've lost track now.
So overall, first of all, cosplay was great.
Cosplay was great.
Comic book sales were good for you.
Comic book sales were great. Steak at Moishe's was awesome.
Nice. And what about now?
Corned beef at Schwartz's was awesome.
Schuster's was good. So
Schuster's was good. We should talk about Schuster's. I did tell Kevin I would talk about the Schuster Awards.
Yep.
And we got like 8 seconds left to do that.
So Stuart Immonen won for best artist, best comic book artist for Fear Itself 1-7, Queen, King, Offsuit, and X-Men Serve and Protect number 4.
Yay, Stuart.
Best cover artist went to François Lapierre.
François. Bonjour, mon ami.
Chronique Sauvages. And best writer went to Curtis J. Weeb for Green Wake 1-8, The Intrepid's 1-6, and Logan's Lost Lesson, Marvel Holiday Special number 2011.
Yes.
And the Dragon Award, Comics for Kids, went to Ariane et Nicole Tomé.
Tomes.
Les Toiles Mysterieuses.
Now.
By Paul Roux.
Kudos to Jen at the Dragon who presented the award en français.
Oh, oui, oui.
Oui, en français.
Formidable.
Jen parle français très bien.
Formidable.
I have no idea what that means. But.
Gene Day Award. I love this Gene Day Award for the self-publisher. Went to Ghost Rabbit by Dakota McFadzean.
McFadzean.
And, of course, the Harry Kremer Award went to your friend of mine, Mr. George Zadi at the Silver Snail in Toronto.
George Silver Snail, well-deserved. And the great thing about George is he went up and he thanked everybody, of course.
Nice.
And he says, I owe a lot of this to Ron.
Ron Van Leeuwen, basically.
And who founded the Silver Snail, which was great, paying homage.
Yep. Yep.
Homage to his old boss.
Great.
And
that's awesome.
The snail is well deserved. Silver Snail, of course, is moving on to Yonge Street.
Yes. Is it Yonge?
Onto Yonge, the old HMV building up just north of Dundas.
Right.
Had a couple pints with George on the weekend
well.
Good. Great guy. I wish him the best of luck with the snail.
Good.
Congratulations to the Silver Snail. Chris, this show is all about championing the local comic shop.
Yes, it really
is. And the core of Toronto has a great comic shop with the Silver Snail.
Awesome. Well, unfortunately, Walt, we have run out of time today. This is it for comic book culture.
Hold on. Let me find my paper. Oh, thanks, Chris. Welcome to come. No, that's not the paper.
Oh, wrong paper. Sorry.
Wrong paper. Hey, sign off. Right. Okay.
There we go.
Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by our young buck over here, Andrew Roebuck.
Andrew Youngbuck Roebuck.
For comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Click the podcast link. Scroll down to the comments field and put your comments in. Please visit comicbookdaily.com. GetThePointRadio.com as well, because we're podcast there.
And remember to go and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a wonderful day.
Please support your local comic book retailer.
I just said that.
Okay.
Take care. Bye.